This is episode 250. Tonight, we heat glass.
Ba-na-na. Welcome to the Tone Control, I guess, where everyone is shredding all the time.
Welcome once again to expert veteran podcasters do
podcasters great. Who definitely do things on schedule.
We
had a good reason.
We are so good at this though that like you just put a microphone in my face and great content just starts flowing. I never have to think about it. You know what I mean? It's just becomes very effortless.
Once you get beyond year 10.
Yeah.
Smooth sailing.
It's a real turning
point. Episode 250, year 10. We're like,
you can feel it. It's like,
it's something in the air, you know?
It's like, you know, you've been walking for a long time and the hill you're on is so slight that you don't really notice until you crest the top, you know? And so year 10, it's like you know, my ankles feel lighter. Yeah. The very idea that I would need to prep any content ahead of time or even record on the right day. You know what I mean? Fuck that.
You know, it's not coasting. Let's say that. Like, we are not coasting. It is you know.
So it's Thursday.
Yeah. An old school Tone Control day. But yeah.
Thursday is so usually a little bit less of a stressful running around day for me. So it's all right. I don't mind. Wife got her COVID booster yesterday.
Oh God. I'm going to write myself a post-it.
Yeah. I'm planning on going tomorrow. She went yesterday.
I got to do that. I'm going to write a note right now.
My kid got one. My kid's like, of course it's a kid, right? So she's fine. It's like, she doesn't even notice. Wife has
a booster and flu.
Yeah, I would rather they did them together. I'm just going to say, jab me.
Damn.
Jab me
post
up.
It.
Wife has a bit of a fever, so she's kind of like, you know, I'm doing bedtime and dinner. Yeah, I'm doing bed. You know, it's like, whatever. It is what it is. Like, I'm not going to, you know, we're not going to whine about it.
She'll be fine.
Yeah.
She'll be fine tomorrow. Yeah.
So I'm planning on going tomorrow so that because I have a recording session tomorrow and I don't want to be feeling like that for that.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're doing it.
Yeah.
Doing what we got to do.
Doing what you got to do. That's cool.
Yeah.
I have honestly forgotten about that, which is shame on me. I should not have forgotten. But things are weird.
We're like right at the start of where you would start to consider getting the flu. And I want to be on that schedule. Just personally, I just don't want to have to do it a bunch of times. So
did I mention this on the show? I got rear-ended like a few weeks ago. Yeah.
I don't think so.
Okay. So I got rear-ended. And like basically the admin of that has been taking up all of my like mental space to deal with things like getting flu shots. So I was at a drive-thru getting a coffee and I got bumped.
You did tell. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
Did I mention it on the show? I can't remember,
I think so.
Honestly. Okay. So it's still not fixed and I'm dealing with all of that. With insurance, it's like, it's being covered, which is great. It's just a slow process. So I had the quote done actually Tuesday and, now I like can't get a spot until, like a week before Christmas.
Jeez.
So it's
is
nuts.
Is it body work or is it other mechanical? Okay. Just body work.
It's body work. Well, and by body work, they actually just replace the entire part. So I'm getting an entirely new lift gate. So they the whole thing.
They're like, you know what? Don't bother.
Don't bother. The guy was like, these are all made of aluminum. Cars are made to be replaced these days. So they just send us a new part, except the glass. They have to take the glass out of my current car and put it in the new car. Or in the new tailgate.
Well, that's all right though, because there's a lot of like sensors and stuff that go in the glass of that car. So are they
in the rear glass? Like it's just the defroster, though.
Yeah,
So I don't know, okay. But there's like the camera, it's the auto lift gate, it's the, all that stuff. Yeah. So I don't know. It's just weird that the glass is the thing that they don't move over, but whatever. Yeah. So yeah. I've been dealing with that, and that's like the constant, like, you know, emails back and forth with insurance companies and phone calls and mm-hmm. time zones and kind of just this, all this shit. And it's going to take more than a week to fix. So I need to organize a rental and,
what the fuck that. Is that so, about? Like,
I don't know.
I mean, I wonder if they are like taking out a bunch of those things, like the cameras and, maybe. I guess the sensor is in a different,
well, there's
part,
a, but, there's the backup yeah. sensor, like the sonar thing or whatever it
I
is.
I think that's, I think those are in the bumper.
But the bumper's messed up too. The bumpers, so they're fixing yeah. that. So it's just, they're like, it could take, you know, like a little more than a week. So I have to get a rental. I thought it was maybe going to be a day or two or something, but I have to now configure yeah. a rental to have space for a car seat and like really mm-hmm. make sure, because I got to have a car that's not mine for a decent chunk, which includes holiday right. travel for us. So that'll be fun. Great. Yeah. Honestly, I'm like thinking about asking to get a minivan because why not? Like, I'm going to be driving all over New England for the holidays anyway, and you know, we may as well drive around a giant living room. So.
Yeah, if you want to know what driving, what adding a minivan to your life would be like, this is the time yeah. when you could do it without any consequences.
Yeah, or, you know, give me the same car I currently have, which would be great. Right. But we'll yeah. see. It's just I want, you know, it's all paid for. Like, the insurance company yeah, is managing sure. all of it. So I'm just like, give me the thing, you know, give me the thing. Sorry, I'm reading the chat. Doug says, I clicked off the stages explanation because I don't know, but now I'm not sure if I should have. Doug, it says you're here.
Yeah, no, you're here. So I can explain this. So we're right now, this is our first, you don't have to do anything, Doug. You're totally fine. And you don't have to read anything. We're once again, we're in our 10 year, like, you know, coasting, call it what you want. zone. So we're recording in the open stage channel. So the way stage channels work in Discord is anybody can join and you just go into the audience. So you don't have to worry about muting yourself or any of that stuff. We have the ability to mark people so that they could come up and into the speakers area and talk, which we'll save for the after show as usual. Mm-hmm. And to do that, we click on you and say, like, invite to the top. And there's somewhere in here where
invite to speak.
Right. There's somewhere here where the audience members can actually raise their hand. So if we were doing this as, we could do this as like a live call-in show and you could raise your hand and then we would click on that to respond. Any of us could. And then you can return to the audience. If you leave, it doesn't beep at us or anything like that. So that's probably all the directions for the stage channel was telling you was, this is what's going to happen. You're in the audience. You don't disturb anybody by coming or going, and you can raise your hand.
And he's asking if general channel is the new live chat. It effectively is. There is a stage chat as well, but Justin can't really see it. So, you can't type in the stage chat. That must be a roles thing.
It must be a speakers only.
Yeah. Okay. So use general.
Yeah. Let's use general. Turn off. Let's. You know what? Fuck it. Let's just flood general every time we do a podcast. It's our Discord. I can flood general.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. So actually, this is fun. I was talking in the Discord the other night and mentioned that there was a gift call before we had ended our time with Pedal Genie. And then we just sort of like fizzled out with Pedal Genie, and that gift request was never satisfied. And Jamie had asked that we do toast gifts. And so we honored that like late night one time earlier this week, just all the toast gifts. So we have no time in the show organized to launch gifts, but we could make one. And Doug got a pick that the gift theme tonight is cream.
Oh no, it's already happening.
So
I will say one other thing is that when we, my computer has been very happy that we haven't been doing the GIF thing during the ad read or doing the ad read at all anymore, because between Discord and OBS and all these multiple monitors running and recording at the same time, these different camera feeds, my little MacBook is just utterly brought to its knees when the GIFs would all start going super fast and we would get these huge frame drops.
We could turn on slow mode.
Because the thing about it is, like, when somebody was watching that or listening, when they're listening, they have no idea. If they were watching on YouTube, they don't have any idea either, because it's only for the live audience kind of thing. I don't think we should bring that back unless I'm going to, like, build a, I could build a scene to show it. I could put it into part of the show. Cause if there's not, if we're not just killing, see the before we had,
we were killing time. Yeah.
For us live, we were wasting time while the ad happened. Right. So now, yeah. Oh my God, the cream. All right. So they're just going to happen for the whole show now is apparently what's going to go on. I don't have a way of putting this on screen yet. I could just try to.
That's okay. I think here's the thing, guys.
I'll work that out.
Maybe sprinkle it in through the show. You know, don't flood it all at once because that all will come to a screeching halt. But yeah, drop them in like when you think it is a strategic moment.
Try to distract us while we talk. So, yeah, I mean, what's the hippity haps? Should we start doing appropriate tone control showy things? I mean, should we mention the guitar at some point?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey guys, the guitar.
Guitars, huh?
Yeah.
I had rehearsal last night.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this, which brings me to my first bullet point.
Which brings me to the first thing. So I'll tell you what, I'll do one of these fucking sounds. Which one haven't I done in a minute?
Hell yeah. Is that the deco?
It's the deco, Strymon.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
So I had rehearsal and it was great. And we're adding all these yacht rock songs, which is really fun.
Okay.
Really, really fun.
Name me and a few yacht rock songs.
Anything by Michael McDonald.
Okay.
Or Kenny Loggins or Toto is in there.
Okay. I'm getting a feel for that. Because
Christopher
think of,
Cross, like Steely Dan sometimes.
Of like, so the guy, Joel's band from, yeah. So he, what did he say that they were yacht metal?
Yacht metal. Yeah.
So that's what I immediately thought of. I'm like, okay, so take me back to what yacht rock would be, which is definitely what he was thinking when he called it that.
It's effectively like adult contemporary soft rock, you know? It's, some Phil Collins, stuff like that.
Yeah, we got a lot of stuff fit in the category, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a really fun genre because it's just the vibe of like, I'm on a yacht. It's
everything's party cool. Time. It's grown-up party time music.
Grown-up party time, like mature, effortless.
Well, let's not go too far.
Yeah, but like as in like suave, you know? Uh-huh. Actually, let me, yacht rock. There is a yacht rock essentials playlist in Apple Music.
Oh, fantastic.
That has Doobie Brothers, Ambrosia, Robbie Dupree, Steely Dan, Hall & Oates, America, for example, Crosby, Stills & Nash. So we can go on. But anyway, so we're adding some yacht rock songs, and it's so fun because they are very songs that are greater than the sum of their parts.
Mm, okay.
No one part is like, what a killer part. You know, there's...
Yeah.
You have to really all nail the thing you're responsible for. And even if that's just like, it's very, I don't know. It's not indulgent music as an instrumentalist, I guess, is a way to put it. So I'm not there like, boy, this riff is so great. Cause it's just a little like, it's just chill parts most of the
time. They're all in common. So, you know, it's.
Except Toto. Toto fucking shreds.
Toto, everybody's shredding all the time. Okay, but it's arrangement heavy.
Yeah.
I mean, not that other songs aren't, or other genres aren't arranged, but it's a genre that only exists because of how precisely arranged the songs are, maybe.
It's really stuff that's like in service of the song to a degree that's not
about flashiness. That's kind of what I'm thinking of. Like when I say arrangement, I'm not meaning like what order do the parts come in, but it's like when you think about how many notes are you going to squeeze into this section. It's like, no. How many notes is everybody squeezing into this section, right?
Bingo.
Every part is considering all the other parts. So,
yeah. That's a good way to put it. So, anyway, I brought my Rev D20 to practice for the first time. This is the first time I've used it in a playing with other musicians setting, actually. And because I've been using Helix, I've been using the HX Stomp, and I just go into a DI or in like right out of the back of the Helix and into the rack. that goes to our in-ears, and we're doing like more or less silent practice, give or take. Like, it's mostly in our ears. There's some room fill, but it was kind of fun to have a tube amp behind me, and I could turn around and turn some knobs and stuff and make sure to flip it on standby when we're taking a break and all that stuff. Like, it comes back really quickly. But the thing I noticed is it feels good. I'm reminded of the inconsistency of it, I think, and like the variable nature of like how it's feeling at the moment, and being able to change it pretty quickly, much more easily. Like, oh, coming in a little hot with the highs, let me just dial that back. And not that that's hard to do on modeling. It's just, it's the interfacing with it that is very different, I think. And I was also using a different pedal board, just like kind of the traditional approach of guitar pedals into an amp.
Yeah.
That amp was then going XLR out into our rack. So there's no cabinet, but
yeah,
it was still like a weird kind of like, oh yeah, this is how we used to do it sort of feeling. But it was fun. I might,
wow. Okay.
Might bring it now and then. It's the thing that I was immediately not turned off by, but felt like a little, the part I don't miss is an extra bag to carry, like an extra thing to have with me.
Because it used to all fit. It would have fit on a pedal board.
Yeah.
And I would just have just fit there. Yeah.
I'd have my guitar case on my backpack and my pedal board or my Helix. And that's like two, and I got a free hand for keys, water bottle, whatever. But now I've got the amp, the pedal board, and the guitar.
Where do the keys go, Derek? Where do the keys go?
In the case.
Oh.
You know,
but then, is this the Stone Age?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay. I jest, but considering we've been recently having these conversations, and one of them was about like what's happening, like what is the role of tube amps anymore, kind of thing, right? And is it fading? So how does this like this experience relate to that for you, and sort of update that conversation for you?
That's a good question. It's,
well, thank you, Derek.
I think because I was still going into in-ears and there was still not a cabinet pushing air in the room, it felt more of like the bridge that I was expecting, you know, that of like digital and analog together.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious if I had a cab pushing air in the room like a lot and was still using in-ears, if that would make me feel that way. I'm that's a big difference. Yeah. Like, I think the how you perceive it,
so like you can
head.
Hear yourself just fine, but your pants aren't flapping. And right. So you still feel like there, even though you're, like you said, you can turn around and adjust a physical amp instantly.
But the floor is not shaking.
Different.
Right,
but the floor
near
is
me.
Not
yeah.
shaking. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think I still stand by what I said about tube amps moving into a space of luxury in the coming years, many years from now. But I got myself thinking a lot more about the cabinet, though, because there's a rotary encoder on the front of the D20 for 6 IR slots. Mm-hmm. And I have loaded it in the IR that I use on my Helix, but then the 5 others are the stock Rev ones. And I was like, well let's load up the 412. Let's like see what that does. And that's not something I ever really messed with in a setting like that before. So that was kind of cool. I still think it's the other factors. It's the hauling all your gear in down 2 flights of stairs, setup time, pack up time, even at your own rehearsal space. Like, we practice pretty infrequently, so I do take all my stuff home for the most part. So it's that sort of stuff that's like, ugh, another bag to carry, another case to carry. Can I do it in one trip? You know?
Yeah.
So I'm kind of, I don't really have an answer for your question.
Even when the amp is like this big, and you can easily just carry it with one hand, and it doesn't add, or it doesn't really, that's
enough. The amp
enough.
Is truly lighter weight than my guitar case and the pedal board case. Like, the amp is no longer the burden, which is funny.
But you're still describing it that way, right?
I know. Well, it's because my pedal board will kind of always be the same size because of it's the size I have, and it goes in its case. And my guitar case is very heavy because it's also full of other stuff. I've got
like
3
keys,
extra cables
in.
Right, tons of keys. God.
Just so many keys.
So many keys. Like 12 keys or so.
It's got like 12. I mean, I'm starting to, I have keys for the college where I'm teaching. Mm. I need 3 keys. to teach at that college because the jazz studio, the jazz department studio, has an outer door, and then there's a gear closet, and then an inner door to the classroom. Oh, ugh. Wiping the sweat off my face. But so I've anyway. Got a,
on my guitar case, I have like the attachment bag that goes, it's like an accessory okay. bag that you attach yeah. to the mono case. And in there is like my DI box and straps and strings and the trem arm for my guitar, like all the accessories that you need. So that adds a bunch of weight really quickly. And the mono yeah. case, although it's a bag, is not a lightweight case. So it ends yeah. up pretty heavy. Good thing it has backpack straps, honestly.
Yeah.
Doug is saying, maybe I'm cynical, but I think in almost every situation, tube amps just aren't the practical or effective solution. I think they are an effective solution. They there's do the a, job. Like,
there's a tiny mid-range. There's a tiny section in the middle where they're still the best idea. And let me describe it to you because yeah. it's not band practice anymore.
Oh, you don't obviously. Mean auditory mid-range. You mean like the middle of the experience.
It's the mids. Buy our t-shirt. No, I mean there's a – here's because here's the thing. Metallica uses models. When you're in a small band and you're at band practice, you use models. When you're playing at home, you use models. When you're playing a mid-sized show, you use models. There's a show, though, that – and I don't – actually, you guys tell me, does this still exist? Because I haven't played bands in a decade. but when I was a kid and I was playing in bands, we would do these shows at like that fucking Elks Lodge or the Lions Club or some mm-hmm. shit like that, you know? And the PA is like just enough to sort of get the vocals into the right zone.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything else is just coming off the stage. That's when you need an amp, right?
That's
the
when
only
you need...
time you need an amp anymore.
What
Does
about...
that show even still exist?
What about the FRFR cab though? Like,
well,
is
right.
that
See,
the
now
amp?
You can solve
is that what
it.
You're...
Now yeah. you can solve it. That's yeah. true. You so, don't even technically
and I could,
need an amp, but
I could
is,
run the rev into that too, and I do sometimes. Yeah. But back in my day,
we searched for months until we found an acoustically favorable cave. Tim.
Yeah, I mean, I think that show still exists. I think
clapping in caves. And, nah, I think not here, if guys, let's move on.
You hear that? You hear that? I think that show still exists for some people. I think yeah. it also depends on like one's confidence and familiarity with the gear. So like this yeah. is the first time I've used this amp in this setting, and it felt like ooh, new gear, even though I've had the amp for like 2 years.
Okay.
You know, it's
yeah.
it felt kind of like a little risky. It felt like maybe my levels will be weird. Maybe things will sound different than I expect them to. I also used a whole new pedal board, a ton of stuff I don't usually use. And it was really fun and because it's rehearsal. So it's a low stakes environment. I wasn't really that worried about it. But if I was going to be playing a show that was like big production, maybe, or like a bigger venue, new venue, something like that, that's like kind of shiny and good and like not just the sticky bar downtown, I would consider the amp, I think, just in a matter of realness and attitude about it towards for myself. But it would still go direct out of the cab. Like
it's like a show of respect to the venue. That if
it's a show of respect to like the night,
to the night, you're just like, ah, we shall put on our nice jacket and like do the thing correctly.
We shall warm the tubes tonight.
Tonight we heat glass. Oh my gosh.
I might not bring it all the time, but you know, yeah. If that amp was any bigger. Any heavier, I would not be bringing it yeah. though. It's yeah. because I can, it's the size of a laptop bag. Like it's, yeah, it could fit right. in my backpack. So yeah, it was really fun though.
So that's what you need then. You need a backpack guitar case that also has the amp spot in the, and then you're going to be like,
yeah, I'll hunch, I'll that, like lean
that,
forward.
What's that game with the, where you're carrying around a baby because there's ghosts or something, whatever.
Oh,
it's like by the Final
yeah.
Fantasy people. I
yeah.
think.
Death Stranding.
Death Stranding. Yeah, you're like the yeah. Death Stranding guy. You're like carrying a pack three times your size.
Yeah. I don't know. It was fun. I got to say, though, using a bunch of pedals that I haven't used in a long time was also really fun. And that weird Ibanez delay that I got a little while ago, the vintage digital
oh,
delay,
yeah. mm-hmm.
that is the best chorus I own.
Chorus, you say.
Yeah, yeah. Do you remember like, that one? You can set the rate so quickly
Yeah.
That it turns into a chorus or a flanger or like a weird right. pitch bendy thing. It's like,
why should perimeters have bounds? Yeah.
Yeah. And I brought it specifically to use as a chorus, and it is good. It is very good. It does that yacht rock 80s chorusy thing perfectly. And I've got another delay on the board for
chorus
delay.
Was dramatic back then. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very pronounced. And like doing that in between sort of, you know, like quacky strat sound with the chorus and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's just that vibe. So right. It's been really fun. I don't know what I'll use next time. I think I will have a consistent loadout for a gig because I want that reliability and I want it to like that it's to be static.
Tested set. Yeah.
But at practice, like, yeah, I'll rotate out all of my pedals today. Why the hell not? I decided to bring my amp at the last possible second. And like, who cares, right?
And it made a great story, I'll tell you what.
The snake is expecting an XLR from me, so who cares what's on the other side of it? Right? Whether it's a yeah. whether it's an HX Stomp or a Rev D20. So yeah.
Yeah.
That's my story. That's all I got.
That's cool. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah. Start a band, guys. Did you guys know that playing in a band is pretty fun? I don't know if you guys know this.
Tell me about that, Derek.
Something about like being in a room and playing with other people.
Yeah.
Is just fun. Like it's
playing music, you're saying.
Yeah.
You're not just, you know.
Not just being there. I mean, that can be fun. Yeah. Playing music.
Yeah.
And I think this was a bit, but now I'm going to be serious about it for a second. It is still very much the, it's like a blowing off steam thing for me at this stage.
Uh-huh.
So like getting in a room and playing loud music and stuff, just, it's like very cathartic and refreshing. So yeah.
Precisely.
Uh-oh, can you be in a band as a solo act? Yeah, I think you can be in a band as a solo act. Well, depends if you're truly solo or if you have a backing band, like a solo artist with a band. Does that count as being in a band? We have some crazy latency, I think.
Yeah, sorry. Discord beeped at me and I couldn't figure out what it was. I thought somebody was trying to send me a message, but then it all just got very slow. I think I've caught back up.
Okay.
So were you reading chat? I was looking for a chat message that you were reading and I couldn't find it.
I was just mentioning, like, who was it? Tim asked if you can be in a, quote, be a band, quote, as a solo act, as just a little LOL.
I see it now, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I saw David Ryan Harris play with Scary Pockets and he was by himself on stage. There was the only person on the stage. So was he a band? No. But.
Right. You know, I mean.
Like when you go see, I don't know why this guy comes to mind. Steve Vai, you go see Steve Vai, right?
Yeah.
You're seeing him, but he's got a band on stage. Are you going to see the Steve Vai band? No.
Because it's not called that. It's,
yeah.
But that is a band.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. Lead guitarist of the band, Steve Vai.
Well, so the thing is though, like, think about it a different way. There is a commercial entity called Steve Vai that is not him.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. Steve Vai, the brand.
Right. It's the incorporated entity that he and his people created at some point, because that's what you do when your music becomes a business. Mm-hmm. Regardless of whether it's still using your name, like his name, like if somebody were to sue Steve Vai, they are not suing him personally. Right there. Oh, well, I suppose they could, but those would be separate things. You know, if it was something to do with his music, then it would be the entity that is Steve Vai as a musician.
Yeah.
Right.
Man, this is taking a turn.
This is what we do now. This is 10 years of podcasting. We just, like I said, we don't prepare at all. Okay. You know, a couple of things get written down and then we go off. And
are backing band members in the band? Yes.
Definitely. Yes.
Are hired guns bandmates? Yes.
For as long as they're there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Like
hired gun insinuates that you're not like a permanent member of the band, or you're not a contributing member to like the songwriting. So you're not getting songwriting credit probably, but like.
Here we go. We're going to blow the lid off of this thing. Elton John's band has been the same for the entire career of Elton John. But
sure.
the band doesn't have a name, right? It's just right. Elton John. So,
because some people name their, you know, the E Street Band, and then some people don't.
The News? Some
people, it's just... Now, is that a separate thing, though? Is it, or is the band's name
Huey Lewis and the
Huey
News?
Huey Lewis and the News. Because that's
would
what
that, I think that would
if
matter.
Call, if the band is called Huey Lewis and the News, I wouldn't say, and I mean, you could still say, and this is the news, right? But the entity, because it's Huey Lewis doesn't go and make a record without the news, right?
I don't, he probably has.
Did he?
I don't actually know. I don't know. Like Huey Lewis, the solo, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. Okay, now there's, so now we've got some
But
separation.
See, I've heard them referred to as the Heartbreakers before.
Yeah. And is Tom Petty, when he performed with the Heartbreakers, it was the Heartbreakers, but it was like, he's kind of a headline figure. So you put the name on there anyway. Right.
Oh man, this is hard.
But then, because Tom Petty surely played when it was just Tom Petty as well.
I don't know enough about Tom Petty to be
now,
honest, to be able
they,
to answer
they
that.
Were,
but like,
I think they were a session band though.
That's the band. Is that what you're thinking of?
Well, no, I think this happened to I mean, the band was too, yes. But like,
yeah.
This happened several times throughout. But I think Petty and the Heartbreakers were session players and then kind of
Well, that's what Toto was too, kind of thing. Is.
Okay, right
Toto,
on, yeah.
Toto is all session musicians that formed a band together.
Yeah.
So, do you know the current singer of Toto is the son of John Williams? The composer.
No. But I like it.
Enjoy that little nugget, Justin.
Thank you.
That one's for you. Take it with you. So,
and for
anyway,
our next segment, John Williams. I mean, come the fuck on. Who does that guy think he is?
Let me say everything I dislike about John Williams.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's right. It's goddamn right. To let the record show that the chat was silent during that gap as well. Because
well done, everybody.
They are not
real
idiots.
Commitment to the bit, you know?
Yeah. I thank you all for reading what was going on in the room there. I'll move on to the next item and I'll play something. This soundbite says short on it. I put the word short in there. So I'm assuming okay. This is a shortened version of something, unlike the last one I played. Okay, so while
Maris that, Enzo.
Maris Enzo, while the insane
remember
sounds
when I had
of
eardrums, that was pretty loud.
Well, what am I going to do? I mean, it's whatever. Sorry, I'll adjust that one down. Here, I'll adjust the volume of that. Oh, fuck. Stupid windows are jumping around on me. I'll adjust the volume of that down a bit.
Oh my God, Doug, that was exactly my plan for that bump to sound like a Cartoon Network title sequence. That was the Maris Enzo. And playing it, I was like, I need to make a kid's like
yeah.
adventure sci-fi cartoon show theme song. And that was my, that was
that
the goal.
In fact, you should probably market that because there's a video game or a cartoon somewhere that needs you right now.
Yeah. Bwah. Yeah.
Bwah.
I'd watch that cartoon too. Yeah. I'd watch the hell out of it.
While that insane sound was playing, we got compared to the Alex Jones of guitar podcasts.
Yeah. And Doug, prepare to be kicked.
Doug, you are on thin fucking ice, my man. Mm-hmm. Jesus. I mean, you had to know. You had to know.
Okay.
That's where I belong. So, next up, something. Next up, Derek gets to talk some more.
Sorry.
Something new has come along. Derek's gone and made another podcast.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Me.
You did it.
Okay. You did it. You made us stop mid-sentence with a gif. Oh my God.
Well done.
Awful. All
nice
right.
Work.
So I am going to make sure that I can switch to a live view of the chat anytime I want next time we play this. Next time we play this show. Oh my goodness. Okay. So, Derek, Super Secret Dad Club, the hot new podcast. Oh, shoot. I just now realized in this moment that it looks like this is supposed to be a secret. Have I already said too much?
No, you're fine. Don't worry about it. Okay. You guys are cool.
This is super secret just for the people in this room.
Yeah, just for the people listening and everyone they know. But yeah. I started another podcast. I talked about this a long time ago that me and a buddy mm-hmm. were starting a dad podcast. It's not like parenting advice, but it's more about resources for dads and just sort of looking at parenthood in the modern age as, you know, millennials, as emo generation, that kind of stuff, and figuring out what the hell is going on with mm-hmm. this. Like, what is it? It's super freaking hard. And
bit of commiserating.
Commiserating. And it's not like, yeah, there's tips and tricks, but it's a lot of, we're trying to just really validate the chaotic nature of becoming a parent, as this, you know, 30 something bracket basically. Mm-hmm. So hoping to share some stuff to make you laugh, make you, you know, laugh, because if you don't laugh, you'll cry kind of stuff. And just sharing the ups and downs, the not the pros and cons, but the turbulent nature
pros
that is.
Pros and cons to dadhood.
Yeah.
Is it for you? I mean, to a certain extent, that's a legit question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, Doug says, see also Dungeons and Daddies. I will be looking that up. So,
is that
Pete,
real, or are you just suggesting that a different
He says
title?
It's a great podcast. So okay, yeah, I think it's real. It's called the Super Secret Dad Club. We have 6 episodes in the can, and we just launched our first one yesterday. So they'll
I've
be coming
only
out
heard
weekly.
The one. So.
Oh, well, good. That's not supposed to work.
Yeah.
So new episodes are going to be coming out on Wednesdays. We are on Instagram and stuff like that. And we're just trying to push this, like, I don't know, dad culture can be really like macho and like kind of mm-hmm. alpha dog bullshit. And that is not the goal here. So it is more like, hey, it's okay to like have feelings about being a dad, even if those feelings are, this is super freaking hard. And yeah. I don't have an outlet for that, or I don't know how to manage my anxiety and feelings about the stress of a new life, basically, that is cast on you one day. So yeah. We're just starting. So sign up. Why did I say that? I was reading the word sign up on the Spotify screen. Subscribe is the word I'm looking for.
What you see here is the Spotify page. It's on all the things, obviously. On Apple,
yeah, we're trying to keep it
follow.
Short.
Oh, here they call it follow on Spotify now. So I guess that's the new parlance then. Follow the latest podcast from your boy Derek.
Yeah, Super Secret Dad Club. Link in the show notes.
His bud Pete.
Yeah, Pete and I went to college together, and we worked together for a long time doing like freelance marketing and design. And I also worked with them when they did media production for events. So lots of weddings and stuff, things like that. So lots of wedding photography and videography in a past life for me with Pete and his wife. So we were like, let's start a dad podcast. He has a little girl who's just about to turn 4. We are showing Spotify here on the page, but or on the screen share. But this podcast is everywhere you can get podcasts.
Sure is.
And if it's not, it will be very shortly. It's just sometimes this stuff has to like go to space and come back, you know, go around the world and come back. So mm-hmm. give it a week.
It's in the process. It's percolating. Yeah.
Hoping for just relatable content.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's like I said, I've heard the first one's the only one that's out yet. I thought it was good. Mm-hmm. Did a good job. Yeah.
Thanks. That's the thing. I came to
Pete. You can't
Pete,
put
like,
those
hey,
10 years back in the can. You can't just like get on the mic and suddenly pretend you don't know how to do a conversation on record, you know?
Yeah, that's the thing is I just texted. I've been listening to a dad podcast that I like that's one host. And there's no – sometimes I'll have a guest, but very rarely. It's just a guy and a mic, and it's good and fun and short and all that. But I texted Pete one day, like, we should start a dad pod because – every time we hang out with them, it's very clear to me, and I see this with you guys too, that they're just really, you just like love being your kid's parent. You're like, he loves being Lacey's mm-hmm. dad. You love being Arya's dad, that kind of thing. And it's not something that you have to like, hopefully it's not something you have to really try to do, but I just see it in people. And I was like, Pete's the kind of guy that I know has a lot to say about this stuff, just based on like how we've been chatting as we've known each other for so long. So like,
yeah.
And he was like, yeah, let's do it. And then we just started and it, here we are. Just well, like, it's just easier than ever.
Yeah. I was thinking, like I said, I think it came out, the first episode came out great. And they, the conversations and things, I think they, you know, it flows. It's a first episode. So a lot of it's sort of like,
it's a little clunky.
It's a little meta in the beginning. I would say,
yeah, I can confidently say, you gotta be like, I'm so-and-so and this is why I'm on this microphone.
Yeah.
But, I think I can confidently say that the next episodes that are already recorded and being like in post-production are way better. So I feel good about it.
You could tell there's plenty of content there.
Yeah. And it's going to be, cause Jack's only one and Lacey's closing in on four. So, you know, just different perspectives.
Almost everybody either was a dad or had a dad. So I just feel like this is very relatable.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Oh,
the cream gifts are coming back. All right.
Okay.
Do you
guitars?
You want guitars up the next thing? Okay.
So your boys at Fender have dropped a product that I've read absolutely zero information about, called the Tone Master Pro Multi Effects Guitar Workstation. The Fender Helix, that's right. The Fender Quad Cortex. Okay. Well, anyway, we can talk about the Fender Pro Tone Master Pro thing. Right. I just really quickly want to draw attention to the top left corner of this thing, where they have decided to put a Fender amp jewel in the corner near the power switch. So
oh,
it looks
I see
like
that, the top
so
left,
it looks
yeah.
like an amp. Yeah. I think that's lame, but also like fine.
I think it's fine.
I think it's fun, but also like kind of dorky. Like dorky, fun dorky.
Do you think okay, so here's what I noticed right away about the Fender thing. I'm hoping this is going to edit together, Ro, because I know this episode recording has been bullshit. But anyway, so this thing comes out of nowhere. They don't have... fucking nowhere. But they're coming right in with the $1,700 price tag, right? So they're we're competing with the Fractals and the Helix floorboards and everything.
Yes. It's actually more expensive than Helix. It's the same price
doesn't
as
doesn't have
the,
a controller. I don't see an
expression.
Yeah.
Well, neither does the Quad Cortex. And it's closer to that size. So.
Okay.
And
but
don't forget
Helix,
the Axe Effects.
I mean, a Helix floorboard does, and
it does. It does.
So
the Tone Master series from Fender, for the uninitiated, is a series of solid state amps that are using modeling to sound like tube amps, and they're really good. They're really, really good. And they have all these like, you know, IR loaders and things and like a direct out and stuff like that. So it's all the conveniences of that stuff, but it's in a combo amp package and you can play it at home. You can play it on a gig and you can go direct with it. So it's like a cool hybrid thing. And they call those the Tone Master. You can get a Deluxe Reverb Tone Master, a Princeton Tone Master, all that, all these different famous amps that they've made over the years. So here comes the Tone Master Pro. And it's got a touch screen and it's got 10 switches on it, a couple of knobs, tons of ports, like tons of IO that you would kind of come to expect. It's got four effects loops. It's got the instrument in and mic and line in as well, kind of like a Helix, stereo out, two expressions out, or kind of, you know, expression in, whatever you want to call it. And then the thing that I'm not really paying a lot of attention to is how it sounds, because I almost don't care. Because like
they
we've
all
been
sound
saying,
the same. They all sound like...
Yeah.
Right.
They all sound good. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if
it
it's
would
like...
Be, the only reason that would be something to talk about is if it was like bad for some reason, but everything's sort of status quo now. Like I don't think about that either. When somebody makes a new model for a whatever, I'm not thinking... Oh, finally, one of them's good. You know, could this be the one that finally sounds good? No, it's over. It's just like, oh, you have a model. I mean, even small software developers, if they release something that's like, oh, here's a model of this, it's the first model from this developer. I'm like, well, it's probably great because everybody can sound great these days. It's like old news.
Right. And that's the thing. They've probably just taken the software out of these ToneMaster combo amps and put them in this thing, as they should. Yeah. Why is it $1,700?
That part's really hard. Do they think that their name carries weight in this product sector, right? That's a weird move for Fender to go to. That's like a Gibson-y move. It's like saying because it's thing, us, yeah. like you're I not think, the king in this sector.
I see Fender do something like this, and it reads as like, "Ooh, that's a miss. Like you should not be in this space." And it makes me look at the product and see the Fender logo as like kind of cringy. Which is a bad response for me to have right away. And I ultimately don't really feel that way, I think. But it's kind of like, who asked Fender? Who is waiting for the Fender one?
Who you are know? You anyway? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a big move. Eric says it's a power move for sure. Four loops. Helix has four loops. I mean, Helix Floor has four loops. Helix LT has fewer, depending on which one you have.
That seems like a lot of loops. Is this, what am I missing here?
It's not just
amps
for
usually
putting
have
in,
one loops.
Right. It's not just for like, one, you can put other effects in and individually place them as blocks in your chain. So like if you have a vintage Memory Man or something like that, you can patch it into Helix.
Four software loops. Four loops in the software, not hardware outputs.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
I'm in my head. I'm thinking that there is like
effects loops. Yeah.
There's like eight jacks on the back for you to loop in external effects.
You are correct. That is correct. There are four effects loops on the back, all independent.
Oh shit.
Yeah. And so you can, and with this, and I'm assuming with Helix, and I'm assuming with the Fender thing, you can just place, here's effects loop one. I want it before my amp. Here's effects loop two. I want it after my amp. You know, effects loop three, I'm going to put it here or whatever. So you can do that stuff. And the idea being like, say you've got this cool vintage Memory Man or something like that. You can leave it on your board, but then still run your Helix and put that effects loop on a switch. So you can treat it like it's baked right into the Helix. You can also use these as separate inputs and outputs to the unit. So you've basically got four additional inputs and four additional outputs that you can send to different things. So you can put a TRS jack in your guitar and send a neck pickup on the input and bridge pickup into return one. You can send it out to, there's like some four cable method, I think seven cable method stuff people are doing now with the loops and stuff. When I was in Delaney, I was using the loops to like receive the click track into my headphones. And I was using the the send out to the board as like the line out because of like how the click was being integrated.
Right. Yeah.
So yeah, that's, you are correct. There's four independent.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a lot. I just feel like Eric complaining about that is sort of, sorry, man. That's not as many as you need.
What do you mean? Well, Doug is saying about like needing one more loop.
Well, no, Eric was saying like, I thought, am I misreading? No, Doug likes the four loops. Somebody was complaining about the four loops that they thought some, anyway, whatever. I'm sorry.
Whatever. So as far, there are people that use that stuff, but I think that's not a killer feature. I think you do need to put something out with an effects loop or two, but that's not what makes this thing $1,700.
Yeah.
Stomp has one. Yeah. I use mine. My pedal board relies on the Stomp effects loop.
Right.
So all my other pedals
I struggle
in it.
With the idea, like Doug's saying, if you would need more than two, like that seems like an extreme case to need more than two. If you could before and after, like, you're
it's for the other
two
stuff.
Points.
I'm not disagreeing, but it's for the fringe cases of this stuff. Like, you could have two guitars constantly plugged in, right? And just switch between them. And then you could run your bass player through it too. And because Helix has independent signal processing tracks, you can run okay. all of that separately. You know what I mean?
Okay. So,
but still, you're not up to four yet. Like,
well, right, exactly. I mean, at that point, if you're doing you and your bass player, you each get two effects loops. I mean, you're living yeah. a life of luxury there.
Yeah, and if you're doing that across one Helix, like
right.
or one Tone Master Pro, I wasn't or whatever, even
thinking about that, like making it a multi. I mean, that's for some bands, that's the whole
keys
band.
Or whatever. Yeah, yeah.
You got a three piece rock and roll band, forget, like they say.
Let's not forget, this has a mic in on it. It has an XLR yeah. in, and Helix anyway has vocal processing built in.
Do you have enough blocks that you could do vocal? I mean, you don't have to do much to a vocal. It's not like you need a bunch of amp processing and shit.
Right. So, yeah, again, pretty fringe though. Like
the vocal belongs in the PA, but you could run it through the Helix for the sake of if you're doing the in-ear thing like you had set up.
You could also
the Helix.
You can also set all of these independent paths to go out of different spaces yeah. on this hardware. So the vocal could go out of the XLR to the PA. So you could do processing on mm-hmm. the floorboard and then send it to the PA. And then your guitar is going out of the instrument output to also the PA, but it is handled differently in the hardware. Hmm. So anyway, again, I don't know. Like why? Is this, do you feel that this touches on the everyone needing to be everywhere thing?
I guess it's this doesn't strike me as a super standout. I just, it looks like a weird attempt at a product. Like it looks like the price is too high to be entering the market at this level.
Well, are you assuming that it's not super high end?
I'm assuming it sounds good. I think the issue though is like if I'm shopping around saying I think I'm going to get one of these modeling floorboards, I think there's absolutely no way I'm going to look at the one that doesn't have an expression pedal.
Mm-hmm.
Not a chance.
And if you are, I think you're going for something much smaller, like or a rack, right? You're going for the
right,
the and fractal, would, or
yeah, you know. and it's so to be this expensive and to not have basic, you know, $50 feature, right? There's a jack yeah. for an expression pedal, so you connect your cheapy expression to it or a nice expression to it, but it's just not that much, and to cut that off of this product. I think it makes the whole thing look weird to me. It's like, why?
It looks almost identical to the Quad Cortex. Like size wise and all that, which doesn't have an expression either.
Well, in that case, I think that's a weird product too. I think
they do it to, I think maybe they're sacrificing that at the expense of size. Cause the Helix floor is big.
Yeah. It's really big.
It's big, yeah, and the fractal floor things can get big. They have a few yeah. different options now, but, you know, it's because you're right. I would also have to spend another $100-something on an expression pedal for this thing because I would want that.
Yeah.
For volume, for controlling any parameter on anything, right? Doing the delay stuff, whatever.
So looping it back around at the beginning of the show, we were
looping it. I see what you did.
we were talking about using your little rev at band practice and being able to turn around and twist a knob. When your whole amp system becomes this floorboard, that's the thing you're missing is to just go, oh, the treble's a little hot, and just twisting yeah. it without. You know what I mean? It's like right there behind you. It's like at waist level or whatever. You set it on a shelf now instead of a cab, but there it is. Mm-hmm. So you need that. I think any of these products that don't have an expression exist as a fringe option for somebody who already has a controller for it. Like, you know what I mean? Well, like, because I don't think you're looking at this unless you already have an separate expression pedal that you're happy to just tack on to this, in which case you'll be like, oh, cool, they make one that's a little cheaper for this. But this one isn't cheaper than other things. It's coming in more expensive than some of its competitors. So,
yeah,
you know, it feels strange.
Helix Floor is running on Sweetwater right now. Oh, it too is $16.99. It went up. Okay.
Okay, so
Helix,
it's the same.
Helix went up by $100. Yeah, so, and I think Quad Cortex is also that price now. Yeah. Let me check. Quad
I guess Cortex. Fender as a brand, they're not a brand who has to come in lower than same other price. Players to be relevant, but I do think that they ought to be beating everybody on features. Like,
well, because that's what Fender does well a lot of the time.
Yeah, like I think they should be using their weight and muscle to, like, if the price is the same, it should be having like one extra feature that the other things have cut off to make.
And
to
I think
that
it's
price,
the feature is that it's got like Fender licensed sounds in it.
No, I don't, no, nope. If you care about that,
disagree.
Then you're in the
then
collector
you're caring
zone.
About the wrong.
Yeah, you're a collector, and here's the deep dark secret about being a collector. It matters when there's a Strat with the stamp on it with a particular year. It doesn't matter when it's software.
No,
you're not. You can't be. I mean, well, you can't be a collector of software unless you're talking about MS-DOS from 1987. Like, you can't be a collector.
Nobody's
of
talking
software.
About collecting plugins like they're rare.
Right. This is not. This is not a thing. The Fender license, blah, blah, blah. What was the company that their models had Celestion blessed IRs?
Oh,
in a,
yeah.
It was like, fuck
was that
you.
Victory?
Like, what are you talking about? Like, every IR anybody makes probably has a Celestion. Because guess what? Your speakers are everywhere. Like, what are you talking about? These are the Celestion blessed ones. Like, no, fuck you. They are. Like, every IR I can shop on any of these sharing sites or purchasing sites is Celestion because their speakers are the best. And if they're not Celestion, they're a competitor that sounds just as good. Like, that doesn't fucking
like
matter.
Eminence.
At
yeah, like
all.
These other right. Electro Voice, like these other major brands
nobody,
of speakers.
Nobody makes IRs out of shit speakers. It's the stupidest fucking thing. So these are the licensed Fender shit. Oh my God. You know what?
These
are going to sound
though.
Better than anybody else making their IR of a Fender. No, God damn it.
Like I said, I've not done any reading about this. I just made that up. I'm just saying, like, I bet that's a thing that they will say. Like, I'm not, they are not pushing that into marketing. I'm just saying, like,
so I got far enough into the rant that you were like, oh shit, this is gonna blow back.
I'm not, yeah,
call
I think,
off.
But like, how does Fender say it's worth as much as a Helix that is like this, it's been in the market for like eight or 9 years, right?
Has the software ecosystem. Well, there. So what about the sharing presets and stuff like that?
Sharing thing and the software updates and all that stuff.
Does Fender have an ecosystem like that with thousands of people participating?
They're starting to, I guess.
Okay. Well.
Again, no one cares how it sounds, right? Because like, it's obviously going to sound good.
Yeah,
the sound has become this weird
it's the easy
proto secondary thing and all of this because
everybody's trading IRs anyway.
You have $1,600 to spend and you can spend it on like one of three or four different products. You know, like, and they're all the same. So it turns into like, which ecosystem do you like, which has like feature sets and in economies that you like and all that kind of stuff. So.
Yep. All right. Well, I'm obviously impressed by that shit.
So, but that's the thing. Like, it's come up in Discord a few times. Somebody was like, have we talked about this yet? And the answer was like, no, because I haven't brought myself to give a shit.
Yeah.
And it's like, who else could make this product that I would pay attention to? Kind of no existing legacy brand, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Right. If Marshall put out a fucking floor modeler, oh my God.
That would be so I mean, that ought to be the same. For some reason,
I hate that more, actually.
You hate it more? was going to say, I think I can't decide if I do or not, I guess. Marshall doesn't seem as big, right? Like Marshall's like amps and a few pedals kinds of things rather than being.
Yeah, this, Fender's got all of it.
Fender's more of a monolith.
Yeah.
So for Marshall, what would I. Okay, so, okay, picture this. And maybe this applies to the Fender thing too. So Marshall makes their modeler, and let's assume that it's roughly feature parity, right? Except,
and price.
Does it have Fender models in it?
Does this Fender one have Marshall models in it?
Do they?
Hold on. I should hope so, because it says it's got fucking like tape. 700 amps or something, you know, like
700 Fender amps. It's like every year model of every amp they ever made.
It says it has 100 amplifier and effects models to choose from, all subject to Fender's ultra-accurate Tone Master process.
Oh, they did
blah,
it.
Blah, 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 blah.
They have the best process.
Including 6,000 configurable IRs. Talk about a useless number. 504 preset slots.
That's too many to be used. Like you said, you did the wrong number.
A desktop editor, full color, 7-inch graphic touchscreen, scribble strips, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so... I mean, with 100 between amps
there's
and effects, you've got a number.
There's 6,000 IRs, but there 33 of them are there's 33 cabs.
God.
Oh, so I mean, between the 33 cabs, too. 7 mics, and 32 cab positions.
Oh, fuck
so that's
you.
How they're getting 6,000. They're doing all the permutations of all 32 positions of all 7 mics on all 33 cabs. And I bet some of that has to do with like, and they're multi-miking and doing those in different positions too. So they get you up to 6,000.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, Doug is okay, saying people are pretty stoked on it. Like that's, I agree. Like my feed has been flooded with this product and every video I see about it is like a minimum 30 minutes long and they often over 45 and into an hour. And I think people are psyched about it. I don't disagree with that. I'm not saying it's bad at all.
Yeah.
It probably slaps, but like who cares?
But the marketing about the Tone Master, like that drives me crazy. The making the amp models sound good is the easiest part. Building this hardware unit that will hold up, that will provide a UI that people like, that doing software updates when inevitably you find you need them. That is where the value is going to be. And that is where a Fractal or a Line 6 has my trust already.
Two simultaneous signal chains.
Yeah.
60-second looper. I cannot believe that we haven't gotten beyond the 60-second looper in 2023, but okay.
Is that not long enough for you, or is that just not a feature?
I just think like, oh, we have 6,000 IRs and we can't loop for more than a minute.
It's a RAM issue.
I know, it's just so frustrating. Like I never use my looper, but I'm just saying like it's
listen,
just
listen, I don't want to loop at all, but if I'm gonna it's gonna be for 60 minutes.
But the TC Electronic stuff, the Ditto Looper Mini has an infinite number of loops that can be applied to it.
No, it doesn't.
Well, it says it does.
It says it does, but that's not possible in computers.
It's not actually possible, but it's so fucking high that no one's going to hit
it
in everyday practice.
You know what it probably is? Is they're merging, right? They're not all undoable.
I don't know.
So right? Again, so as long as it keeps looping and then recording back to the master track, it only ever has like two or three things in memory at a time. So I guess that's fine. It can say infinite. You just can't take them back off infinitely.
Yeah. I don't know if it has an overdub limit. It must.
Well, I mean, it doesn't have to. If it literally just does them as straight overdubs, then all it does is just keep getting noisier the longer you go.
So here's the thing about the effects loops that I'm just reading. Effects loops 3 and 4 can be combined to be a stereo effects loop.
That seems like they both should be able to do that. That seems like just basic software.
Like having two stereo effects loops and that can run as 4 independent.
Right. If you have 8 jacks on the back of it, I should be able to configure those any fucking way I want.
I agree.
Because it's all software.
Yeah. Under 9 pounds. I think that's also a thing. Helix Force
Heavy.
Tell
me what it weighs. Apple telling me like to the 0.2 grams of everything, and they're like, it's under 9 pounds. Yeah. Eat shit. You know what, buddy? Fuck you.
Yeah.
Toadmaster. Get it in your bag.
It does have an IR loader, so that's good. I feel like that would be a kiss so of death
if 6001 1th IR 6001.
Oh my god.
Okay, I think we can close it on that. It's time for thing of the week.
Holy shit.
Just the 6001th. Okay.
Doug with the comment, it's under 9 pounds. What do you want me to say? Get a fucking Bowflex or something.
Oh my god.
Okay.
Are we thing of the week? That's not right. This is I put the thing in the wrong spot. Yeah, we're thing of the weeking right now. I can't remember what sound I played for the Fender modeler.
Whatever.
Fuck it. Who knows? It's a mystery. Question marks. Okay. Thing of the week, baby.
Baby. Do you want to go?
No, you can do your thing. Yeah.
Okay.
Tell me what
so
this is.
So I haven't been reading very much because I have a 1-year-old, but I caught some clips of interviews from like 60 Minutes and things like that with a woman named Cassidy Hutchinson. And if you're not familiar, Cassidy Hutchinson was a White House, like a top White House aide, kind of the right hand to the chief of staff in the Trump era of the White House, of the Trump presidency. Mm-hmm. So this is way outside of anything I would ever read.
Yeah.
Way beyond anything that I find interesting. I never read political anything.
Yeah.
Memoirs I dabble in.
And then to pick this one out, you know.
And so I had seen a bunch of, she's on this book tour promoting her book, which is called Enough. And I've been seeing these clips and interviews and stuff and thinking what she has to say is really interesting and really good. So I checked out the book and I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I have a bunch of Audible credits. I'll give it a shot. And let me tell you, dude, I'm like halfway through it and it is juicy. It is crazy to listen to this stuff. Books like this that are kind of recounting many years with many people. It's a little bit tricky to get through because it's effectively 4 years of he said, she said. And so you're kind of listening. And then I said this to so-and-so and they said that to me and they're, you know, referencing screenshots and emails and text messages. And it's organized in a way that is easy to follow. It's chronological through the presidency and stuff, primarily up like the last year until the election. And at the midpoint through the book, you hit January 6th. So, and she is a essential in service of the president staffer.
Right.
And so it's very, very interesting. I will say she is not I don't know. I guess I feel like I need to keep it PC, but she's like not a crazy right wing nut, but she is a Republican in the interest of like old school Republicans, right? Mm-hmm. Republicans from when we were kids kind of thing.
Yeah.
That are just like politics is politics and we can be civil and, you know, and so she's now very much in these clips of interviews that I've seen very vocal about distancing herself from the modern Republican Party and the state of all of that. And is kind of coming out against a lot of it. And she's really young. I think she's at the time of the presidency, she was in her early 20s, mid 20s, and was kind of one of these people that runs the show in the background. So people you don't really hear about in the news and stuff. So fascinating listen, fascinating read. I know it's like a weird thing for me to bring up,
no,
but
it's,
like
it's an interesting pull. Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah. It's, I'm really enjoying it. And she's the narrator of the audiobook, which is also very cool.
Well, naturally, she was a professional speaker, you know, in the context that she's describing after all.
Honestly, the crazy thing about this is when listening to stuff or learning about things about like how the government works, right, at any scale, it feels very like I've always understood it as like very official, very proper, and like there's a procedure and a protocol and like for all kinds of things, right? And there's actions that take place and blah, blah, blah. So there's a lot of that. That's very true still. But then the other side of it is that this fucking country is run on text messages and run on like winks in the corner from people. And it feels very, how does anyone get anything done? Because they're all just winging it half the time mixed with all of this like really intense procedure stuff. So,
It's like the procedure that happens when she's at the podium. And then there's the, like, she steps behind a curtain and there's interaction with all the people she's talking about and speaking on the behalf of. And they're all texting and shouting things and insulting each other.
Like, have you ever seen the videos of Wall Street trading when it's just like chaos on the trading floor? Right. It feels like it must be like that.
Yeah.
So, if you find that kind of thing remotely interesting, like I've just been, I guess I'm at an age where I maybe find this interesting suddenly. But I was just kind of reading up about like, what does a chief of staff actually do?
Yeah.
Right. Like all of these little things, you know, they're important people, but you never really look into them very much.
Mm-hmm.
So it's some crazy shit.
Cool. All right. Enough. By Cassidy Hutchinson. Yeah. All right. I'm going to pick an off the wall thing. So I just ran into this morning. So there's this bit of technology. The reason this came across my desk this morning is because somebody decided to make a sound absorbing material out of this technology. But the whole thing is, plasma acoustics. And so
plasma acoustics.
They write it as one word. It's like not a real word, but the science, you know, they need something to call it. But essentially they have like a metal membrane and then they have these wires and you run current through it and it, it creates a thin little ribbons or layers of plasma in the air. It ionizes the little bit of air that's there. And this is the same thing as like an ionic thruster. If you've seen talk about like there are tiny satellites that use this and they're basically tossing ionized particles. So ionizing is okay. So we're going science on this.
Do you have a page up? Cause you're not sharing still.
I have this other page, but what
that's
do you
okay. Find? You don't have to. No, I was just like, I Googled this and it brought me to the Wikipedia page for ion acoustic wave.
Okay. Right. So essentially, when you ionize molecules, they strip off an electron. So basically they become charged. They're no longer stable. They react to a magnetic field. And so then the electric current is a magnetic field and it pushes them. So you can push things with this. So in space where there isn't a lot of air resistance, you can use this as a thruster and move along. Mm. And so small satellites can use this. It's very, very fuel efficient because you're just generating a little bit of electricity and then throwing ions out the back of your very small spaceship. But in the air, like it's the same thing as you can ionize things. Those things that sort of like pull dust out of the air, they're doing a little bit of ionization and then magnetically they're sticking to the dust and then it's falling kind of thing. So
Doug says, I was expecting some bullshit new cable company or something.
No. So, okay. So apparently this has been worked on before, but what I've seen, and I'm going to show this page, somebody made this isn't the brand new thing, but somebody made a speaker out of this. So essentially it's a metal grill and then the wires are behind it. And when they turn it on, so instead of running a direct current through it, which would sort of create this thrust and you can almost feel this gentle breeze on your hand, if you put your hand up next to it, you'd use an AC with it. So now it's doing this with the air and it becomes a speaker. So it's a speaker that is almost visibly transparent. It's very directional. It's extremely light. It doesn't have a ton of bass response in the little demo that there's a video down here where they show.
You're not sharing still.
Oh, that's right. I'm not sharing. Well, I'll include the link, I guess, to this, this page here. Why don't I just share this in the Discord so everybody can see what I'm talking about. So this is a link to Production Expert, which is like a audio production blog, but, so you can see this little square speaker they made and they do a demo of it. The new thing is, you know, there are applications for this where you could hide speakers inside of things and make direct. So it's almost like art installation things or like a Disneyland. You could see that, you know, they could make use of this sort of material. They're very light that, you know, it's kind of cool in the demo. You can see there's actually a very dim violet glow to the ionization ribbons. Hmm. It's making a little plasma right there. So so the new thing that's been made is somebody made a sound absorber out of this, and it is possible to make something that they said is like millimeters thick that can absorb sound waves all the way down to like 20 hertz.
Whoa.
Right? So sound absorption, when you're using like foam and insulation and stuff, the depth of it, basically how much space it takes up, is directly related to what frequencies it can successfully absorb and kill. So this is active noise cancellation. So it's like noise cancellation in here, but it's doing it it's doing it in your walls. So once again, we're building on old tech where years ago they created the idea of using speakers in a room to actively modify the acoustics of that room, like to measure the sound in the room.
I've heard about
cancel that. And just time it exactly right. So those sound waves get canceled just as they meet the wall because of speakers that are in the wall. But the trouble with that is it's hard to get very full frequency, and you still need extremely large speakers to be able to create waves that are down at those very low frequencies in order to absorb those low frequencies, right? So these things can do it at like a thousandth of the wavelength that they're absorbing. So when you have a sound wave that's 40 feet long, you don't need a 40-foot long thing. Mm-hmm. Or it would actually be 20 because it's half the wavelength typically for a speaker cone. But like, you don't need a 20-foot long thing to absorb that. And so they've made these basically, and they set it up and sort of demonstrated it, that you can essentially line a wall with these, and they are actively repulsing, because the ionized air has basically no inertia, or very, very little inertia. You know, a speaker has quite a bit because there's a coil and there's a membrane. And there's all this mass there that you have to push. So getting it to react both to the very low frequencies and the very high frequencies, you have so much inertia. You're trying to move this thing, you can't do it. So with this ionized air, the plasma, I guess I should say, they're able to like create these sound waves instantaneously without having to fight the inertia of a big membrane or anything like that.
Very cool.
So it's pretty neat. And I was like, so I see this headline, right? Next generation sound absorption could be with us soon. And I read the summary. They're like, they're doing what? They're using plasma? And then I watch these videos and sort of see the accents are a little, the people who are doing this are like not from North America, and their accents are a little tough, but it's cool, cool tech. And I found it really interesting.
That is very awesome. When you mentioned the using speakers and stuff to cancel out like sound in a physical space.
Yeah, active sound cancellation.
That reminded me of an old episode of 99% Invisible that I just threw in the Discord called the Evolution of Architectural Acoustics. And they interview these architects who now are not only designing with physical materials and designing how a space like looks and feels and works, but they're able to design how a space sounds.
Right. Yes.
And I think I mentioned this on the show a very long time ago, but it's awesome. It is one of the coolest interviews. And I think there's some famous like lecture hall or something at maybe MIT or something like that, that they built beautiful, grand place, and it is unusable because it is acoustically awful. Basically, there's so much like drowning out reverb. You can't hear the person at the front of the class speaking. So they had to engineer this active noise cancellation tech right at the time to do this. This episode's from, and so now this has evolved into, when you're going to a place, you can have it feel and sound open and airy, and then you can turn it off, right? You can suddenly make it feel tight and intimate, even though your physical space is wide open.
Yeah, and fucking like doing crazy. It with typical sound drivers would be a complicated scenario of putting them in the right place and finding where you can tuck bass bins in to try to produce that. And it takes a lot of power too, because it takes wattage. You have to create as much sound on the other end in order to absorb it. Whereas with this, it's very, very low energy. And like, you're not having to push all that air because you're creating it with this like magnetic field. You're not pushing a membrane to push the air. The ions are pushing the air. And so it's very fast response times. Cool. And it's really kind of wild. effective down to 20 hertz. Like, give me a fucking break. And they have a thing. It's like 17 millimeters thick. And they're like, this can absorb down to 20 hertz.
That's nuts. That's nothing. And yes, 17
mil. You're right. Like, that's exactly what they're doing. It's just like noise canceling headphones. They're measuring this. Well, you know, if it was in your studio, I mean, how it would be most effective, right? If it was actually measuring the sound and then canceling it. You wonder how probable that is. Whereas if I have like my studio, I could have it effectively cancel. It would know what was coming out of my speakers, right? I could have it listening to my speakers feed and then knowing how deep my room is and just canceling that at the back of the room.
Oh, man.
You know what I mean? And it would be completely perfect, right? It would be this perfect, I would have a disappeared wall in the back of my studio made of this stuff, right? When it would come on. See, with
this
is
okay. So last episode, when we were like, where's all this going to be in 10 years? This was not on the radar, right? This is one of those things.
Not on my fucking radar. I mean,
this
like,
was
what?
One of those things that comes out and you're like, that's a real game changer, right? This technology that you would never in a million years think of. And someone much smarter than us is like, well, what if ions?
Right, exactly. And like you said, like it works in your headphones because that's a small space. You don't need a large driver with a lot of power because you're not trying to do it to a large acoustical space. And it's nearly perfect. But for a big space, you have all these other considerations and you can have buildup of big, large sound waves. Game-changing tech. You wonder how expensive it's going to be. But I mean, it's just... Even just for the audacity of it to have this room where the entire back wall can just become invisible, like, you know, we're humans. Somebody has enough money. They could do that. And just for the sake of it. Right.
Yeah. Wicked.
Yeah.
Good picks. Two completely different picks. I like that.
Okay. Well, we definitely recorded. Well, look at that. We did a long one on a Thursday.
Well, a bunch of it was you trying to fix Discord, but.
Oh, that's true. That couldn't have taken that many minutes. Anyway, we'll see how long this cuts down to.
We'll fix it in post.
Yeah, we'll fix it in post. All right. Well, hey, everybody. This was a semi-successful first run in the Stage Channel. I plan to keep doing this. I hope you guys had fun.
A lot of people were coming in and out, which was very cool.
I liked it. It was good to see. Good to see Discord faces. So if you've never joined Discord because you didn't think there was anything in it for you and you're hearing the sound of my voice, come on and join the Discord because I know there's more of you out there listening than there are in Discord. And we'd love to have you live on the show commenting and trying to distract us and stuff. It'd be a lot of fun. So, oh God.
Also, I will throw in real quick again, like I like to do sometimes, a reminder that Discord is not a social network.
Yeah.
So if you are a person that's not wanting to be on the socials media, I'm with you. And it's not that. It is strictly a community-driven thing. People with shared interests all coming together to talk about that shared interest. And ours is guitar. So,
and to prove it, Discord's business model is not selling ads. The users are not the product of Discord. Discord's product is something called Nitro, which is totally optional. And it just gives you like extra badges and things like that and icons that you can, you know, bigger upload limits, emojis, stuff like that. Just it's little frills stuff. It's very safe from a, like, I'm a gamer who doesn't like pay to win mechanics. The cream gifts are getting a little out of hand.
Doug is popping off over here. Look at the abs on that guy. Anyway.
That's Chris Evans, man.
Is it really? Hang on.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That was like his first big movie. That was not another teen movie.
Wow.
That's the thing. That's the thing about Chris Evans.
Oh gosh. Yep. He was awesome in Scott Pilgrim. That's a deep
Chris Evans cut. All right, guys. Well, thanks to the patrons and for helping us promote the show or, you know, do all the things that we do. I'm going to try to get through this without if you want to be a patron, it's support the show at patreon.com/thetonecontrol and find our Discord at. Nope, that's wrong. That link
find it in the show notes. I'll
find it in the show notes. All the links are in the show notes. You know what to do. Come join Discord, please. We'd love to have you. The patrons this week, we give our undying thanks to Nick Greedwood, Carson Ricketts, Matthew Fenslaw, Ryzen Wolf, Doug King. Did something get updated? No, Big Daddy Doug. Ed Sheeran's cousin. I'm caught up. Brian Gower of the Tone Jerks podcast, Andrew Walsh of Andrew's Alcove, and Sean Wright of Lollygagger FX. Thank you all so much.
You didn't do the music.
I didn't do the music. You're right. I was like searching through because the patrons wasn't copied up, and then I thought I missed somebody, and I got super distracted.
I just copied it up for you.
Yes and no, I know, but I had already scrolled down, and then I scrolled back up partway through. I just blew the whole. It's just utterly professional is what happened. I hit you with my very good professionalisms. All right, whatever. I'm just going to play the sound now.
We're just going to ride this out.
Like, we're just going to just talk over it. You want to like, what are we planning for next episode?
Right. Wouldn't now, it be weird if nothing, I was really like that? Tune in next time to hear more about something we don't know about yet.
Yeah. Maybe something interesting will happen in the world of guitars.
Maybe. Maybe not. Chances are probably not, because that's how it kind of seems to go.
Yeah.
I got a new pedal that we didn't talk about. Maybe we'll talk about that later.
Hey, there we go. Leaving content on. We got content falling out of our back pockets. No wonder we don't have to prepare.
I guess, what do I do with all this content? Ugh.
Oh, my God. It's everywhere. All right. Anyway, see you later.
Just like the cream. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.